Cast.
The light's on.
The light is, oh, the light
the
is on.
On here.
It's on.
That's a good thing.
The heat should be on.
There's always a lot of pressure. Yeah. Everybody that's here would be able to attest to the stress that I have when it starts.
An hour before it starts.
Sure, good morning, Dana.
Stuff's right.
And close this out, I think.
Streaming goes off
so
well.
People. Yeah, no, but I think we're good right now. So it is January 14th. We're at Cape Ann's TV, actually 1623 Studios.
Right.
They've retired to the mm-hmm. yeah. Do you like the nice. Studio? Is it?
The place is great.
It kind of gives us an air of sophistication.
Very professional.
It's a whole different vibe from the Wharf.
Yes, it is. That it is.
Yeah.
We can't swear in here.
It's a whole lot of white.
Although the Wharf's cool, though. I like the Wharf.
The Wharf is cool and funky. The Nest is cool and funky. The rum line was a lot of fun with Crazy Kyle and Fred Shrigley.
Yeah. I'm still hungover.
Ellen Tasker's pickled string beans.
Yes.
String beans.
Oh, yeah. Used to get her on.
Huge hit. Yeah, we put out a call for her to make them.
Very
and
busy
come
pickling.
On.
Yep. Pickling.
Huge pickler. Not Dick, not,
Pickler.
Not, what was it, Dirk Diggler.
Dirk Diggler.
Ellen Pickler.
Yes.
Yeah. Pickle of the, Myron Lapine. Do you know Myron Lapine?
Yeah, Pa's Pickles. Myron Pa's Pickles.
Myron Pa's Pickle.
Yeah.
So we're going to go around and introduce everybody. Jimmy right now is off camera. Jimmy Dalpiaz.
Everybody.
Walt Kalenda is here. He's going to talk about the newest venture with the flea market.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Dalpiaz is
morning,
with us.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Chris McCarthy.
Remember he used to let us introduce ourselves? Now he's introducing us?
It's the studio vibe.
It's a studio vibe.
Yeah,
right?
He's taking away our thunder.
No. I'm stealing your thunder.
Yeah.
It's kind of like self-loathing to introduce yourself, I think.
Oh, really?
And Scotty Mack is with us as well.
GMG.
You know what, Scotty? I think from now on when you're here, I'm going to let you do the introductions.
Oh.
So you can ramp it up. Ramp up the excitement.
More note cards.
More note cards.
I'm not running in from the sidelines.
I kind of wanted to figure out how I could get like the index cards this big with each particular topic with notes on it printed out, and then I could just wing them. Like, remember Letterman?
Oh,
wing them.
Yeah. And Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson. Oh, Johnny Carson must have started it.
Joey, it's called a printer.
Do you know who? I know. I know. I have printers. I have as tech savvy as I consider myself. Printers are my nemesis, especially wireless printers.
Every auction we panic. Every time we go to put them on, we panic. The computers can never find the printers. All the computers.
That's
my
thing.
They can't find them. It's like all of a sudden it just.
Pat says it's not that complicated.
Yeah.
But Pat was a library and a multimedia professional at her school library.
Yep.
Do you want a good job for bad pay?
Good job for bad pay.
I did that for 35
years.
I had
right?
a good job for bad pay for 35 years. So I'm kind of used to it.
You're enjoying the fruits of the
I am.
Your union labor.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
we're very fortunate.
So this past weekend, I'm remiss that I either forgot about it or I didn't realize it was coming so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
What is the official name of the flea market? And tell us about it.
So right now we're calling it Cape Ann Flea Market. And it's really, I was going to name it Cape Ann Vintage Flea Market because it's vintage used items, repurposed items, things out of people's basements. We have a good selection of antique dealers. So it's really more vintage. It's not a place where you're going to find like a newer imported mass-produced kind of products or tube socks or knockoff purses. We want to stay away from all
oh,
that.
Oh, right, yeah.
None of that, which you can find at flea markets.
Yeah.
But I kept it short to Cape Ann Flea Market because you'll appreciate this being kind of a tech guy, right? You can't fit Cape Ann Vintage Flea Market in every title, in every place that you want to go.
Right.
So we're calling it the Cape Ann Flea, and it's definitely not snooty high-end like a major antique show. But there's some pretty good stuff in it. There's not a lot of quarter, 50-cent items that you find at other flea markets. Although there's some great bargains, too.
Really?
The Cape Ann Flea, come scratch your itch.
Yeah. He's a marketing genius.
Right?
He is. He's unbelievable.
Catch up with this guy, right?
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
So,
I'm stealing it.
Have at it.
I'm sure he'd be happy. Just make sure you credit him in the notes.
Yeah, absolutely.
The... So what does it take to how much does it cost? So I have interest actually in showing.
Yeah.
Because like my grill collection.
Yeah.
I have a vintage grill collection, and I know that there are subsets of different collectors of different a million different type of things, right? Train collectors. But like if there is repetitive people showing up with a collection and people know that they can come down there and there's
going to find them there. Yeah.
And there's, but the collaboration with all the other people, it makes it worth their trip to get there.
Exactly. We had people from New York, a lot of people from Boston, some from Connecticut and Rhode Island. So we had a great turnout. Okay. So to get to your question, what it takes, so we kept the fee really affordable because there's a lot of people in the area that were expressed interest in supporting it, and we wanted to make sure it was affordable for them. Unfortunately, that worked out great. Unfortunately, it meant we have a large waiting list. We've got four. Well, we'll definitely have a place for you. I guarantee we'll have a place for you.
We
had about 30 vendors. We hope that the next flea, which is February 16th, to maybe make enough space. I'm going to move some of my auction merch and move some floor space around so we can hopefully have 40 to maybe even 50 vendors.
Wow.
If we continue it in spring, it's still kind of a trial balloon. We're booked for February 16th, March 22nd. And we're going to reassess and see if we can do it year round. If we do it year round, we'll switch it to Saturdays because we really don't want to go head to head with Todd's Farm. So many people go out that way. And we want to make it a good venue for dealers. So to be, right now the fee is $35, which is
that
really
is very
reasonable.
Yes.
$35 a spot, $40 if you want electricity, $50 if you want an autograph from Jimmy. Joey.
Yeah. Jimmy.
Is more valuable. His would be more valuable.
What's the size? When you said
the size of the booths, and this may change, right now they're 8x10s. And we had a
is that what the size is? 8x10?
Mm-hmm.
So 8 is like the sheet of a plywood. A plywood is 4x8.
Right.
So bigger.
So it's quite a bit bigger than that.
Yeah. Kind of an average bedroom.
Yeah.
Quick gloss and ask. Carry the one.
Yeah. We had a great selection of vendors. We had probably a good even split of people vendors that do it for a living or part-time. And then a lot of people set up with stuff from their attic and their basement.
Yeah.
And what we want to encourage people to do is if they set up with us a few times to bring different things every time because people don't want to see the same items all the time. But it can be the same kind of items. In other words, if somebody has like a grill collection like you, Joey, right? Maybe not bring the same exact ones each time, but I think we're going to have a good diverse market, and it looks like it's going to take off. It just the same,
so cool.
The same,
and
way
it's indoors too.
So it's indoors.
You don't have to worry about being Todd's Farm's outdoors, right?
Todd's Farm's outdoors, so we have that benefit. And then we were thinking when we move it into the spring, if we carry it on, we could have it indoors, reserve spaces. Then weather permitting, we could sell outdoor spaces, and outdoor spaces would be kind of like on a first-come, first-served basis.
Yeah. Walt, I was there on Sunday. It was Sunday, right?
It was Sunday, yep.
And on the record high temp day, so yeah.
Yeah, right.
As soon as you walked out of the building, you felt the sun.
Yeah.
Right.
That was perfect. And the diverse items that you have in there, from what I saw, was, I mean, everything from old tin lunch boxes.
Really?
Yep.
That's cool.
Old baseball card collections. So for the collectors that out there might find a hidden gem in that maybe it's a missing card from their set.
Exactly.
Or something like that. Military items. I saw MREs.
Yep. Really? Yeah, right.
Meals ready to eat.
We should buy some of those
so
and try
I almost bought one for my father for a Christmas gift for next year.
Right.
Being a veteran. It was a gag, you know. But so, you can find all sorts of stuff there. I loved it.
What was the expiration date on the MRE?
The expiration? I think they're like Twinkies.
They never expire.
They never expire.
At last month's auction, I sold 4 cans of water, emergency water, in the old drab Olive Army green heavy cans.
Wow.
The cans were like so thick, they don't even make cars like that anymore, right? And they had it. So
that's cool.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to find. And flea markets in venues like that are famous for unearthing like great treasures.
That is true.
Not this flea market in particular, although there were a lot of great treasures. But in the past, people have found like $1 million paintings at different flea markets, serious coins. We had a couple of really big coin vendors.
The paintings at the place that I was walking by, they were selling, all artwork was $5 at this one stand.
Right.
You know, you never know what you're getting. Right. Yeah.
Really something for everyone.
Chris McCarthy original.
What's the what's the greatest gem that you've ever found over the years?
The greatest gem I've ever found at a flea market was probably coins.
Coins?
Yeah. Some
are you a coin expert?
Gold and silver. I'm not an expert in coins. So what I get to do is being an auctioneer and having been in this business since the late 70s, I know a little bit about almost everything I handle. But because it goes through my hands so fast, I don't get to dive deep that much. So I'm a great person to buy from because I get so much stuff. It could, and any of the dealers are, it could slip through your hands and you don't have time. People say, well, you must research that. With all the stuff
I get, call on an expert like on Pawn Stars? Like, hey, I got a guy.
I've got a core of people. Okay. It does. Yep. Not as often as those guys do. Right. We don't have, you know. But I team up with a guy that runs WorthPoint, Will Sipo, who's the online evaluation specialist. They've kind of taken over the internet as far as values for antiques and collectibles. So I'm good friends with him. I've made connections, obviously, here on Cape Ann and throughout New England with people that specialize in a lot of things. But most of the time, you don't have time to do it with each and every item that you're really curious about. So you pass it along and there.
Take a little piece.
Yeah.
Take a little piece and pass it along. Because if every little thing, there's not enough time in the day and tying up money and everything else. You just want to get it in and get it out, right?
I say I want an auction or a flea market, not a museum.
Yeah.
The worst thing a market can have is if you go there time after time after time and you see the same dealer with the same display, the same way he had it. Right. And people just stop coming because it becomes invisible.
Oh, right.
You know?
Yeah.
So they want to
see. No, when it creates a need, like we got to go and see it again because it's going to be different.
And people love this stuff. Right. Come scratch your itch is the perfect tagline because that's what it is. They like.
It's what he does.
Did I hear this correctly? That you and Scotty are porn stars?
You're incorrect, Chris, and I'm sitting right next to you.
So, Walt, not to put you on the spot, but here's a pen.
Yep.
I want you to look in the camera and I want you to do your auction thing.
Auction the pen off?
Yeah.
All right, you guys got a bid though. Hey, I got a pen, so let's start a wee down low and then let it go. Who's going to bid now? Gonna get five? I got five. How about 20? I got 20. Yep. 20. Supposed to go 10, but I said 20. Come on, give me more. It's only money. How about 30? It's only money. That stuff's 30. 30. 40. 10 from your friend Jody. Jody says no. And Jody. I got 40, but I don't want 50.
Very nice.
No, that was real. I want my money.
Yeah. No, I really want my money. $40 pen?
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy a $40 pen.
When's the next one?
Okay, so the next flea market is,
February 16th.
February 16th. Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome.
The next auction, which I'm really under the gun for, is this Saturday. And I haven't got a lot of promotion and advertised or pictures. I usually get a couple of hundred pictures up for the auction.
Yeah.
So these are all growing pains we're having. We have a ton of stuff for the auction. We got just as much as we always have. But because I have the flea market, I don't have all the pictures in the description up. Believe it or not, to get an auction ready, it takes me longer to do the pictures in the description than it does to get the auction floor ready.
Well, if it helps, I look at the pictures every time.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. But you're not going to see a lot of them this time.
Well, no, I understand. But if it helps you to stay motivated to do it, I look at them every time.
February 16th, huh?
February 16th.
Is the next flea market.
But
February 14th on Valentine's Day that you don't want, can you bring that down on the 16th and auction?
Yeah, absolutely.
And Saturday, the January 18th.
This Saturday coming, January 18th is the auction.
Yep. At the same location.
Yep, absolutely.
Diamond ring.
That's awesome.
The preview starts at 4 o'clock.
Right, the auction. Around.
The flea market doesn't have a preview.
No, right.
The auction, the preview inspection, that's a good point, starts at 4 o'clock. The auction starts at 6. And the flea market, the hours are 9 to 2. Mm-hmm. And if you're coming from a distance, as a lot of people did last time, it's if you get there at 9, you're going to be on time because we don't let early bird shoppers in, so that we make it fair for everybody.
And there's plenty of parking there if anybody's not been there.
Is there where would you like us to point people for the flea market? Is there a website, or would you rather them to go to the Facebook page?
Either the Facebook page or our page, Cape Ann Auction. Then we have a page on there, /flea market.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Since it's on Condolin Road,
right,
and there's not really any restaurants over there.
Right.
So people come over there, they want to shop or whatever.
Right.
Ever any interest on food trucks being in the parking lot during the auction so you could actually make it a...
We are interested. Yeah, so we've been using Classic Cooks to cater. I think they'll be able to do all the morning events too. They had an emergency last one, so we put out coffee and donuts. But the auctions are catered, and so we will definitely have food there at everyone. You need it, because some people stay a couple hours and look around, so that's a good point as well. So a food truck is something that we might be interested in doing, but right now, Classics Cooks has the auction and possibly the flea market.
Good to know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really want to do this. I've always wanted to do it.
They're fun, isn't it? Just a good time.
Yeah. And if you like people, you like this kind of thing.
Gloucester loves to do stuff too.
Yeah.
They love events. It was kind of really,
that is true.
Everybody helped out so much sharing it. People were like, oh, you did a great job. And really, it was the effort of everybody that shared it and talked about it and all the dealers and the people, the mom and pop that set up and got the word out.
So I have a question. I know it's vintage stuff. What are artists allowed or no?
A what?
Photographers
and stuff?
The makers market was kind
of like that. The makers market is a much better market for that. The artists are allowed because that's something that's made. And the problem is for people that do that kind of things, so many of the flea market people are looking for that great bargain that often artists and people that hand make their own crafts don't do well because they need to get a set amount for their things because they've got a lot of time and effort into it. And they don't generally do well at flea markets. And that's not just this flea market. That's pretty much any flea market.
It's kind of the mindset the customer goes in there with.
Yep.
Flea market is a
separate. That's some honesty right there.
Yeah.
It's a guy that, like, that's how successful the thing is. He's got a waiting list, and he can tell people, we don't want your fucking shit over there.
It's the same with the auction, too. If a living artist approaches me and says, hey, you did great with the art in the auction. Can I put some of mine in? I tell him, yeah, but you probably won't want to because it's the artists I had are usually deceased and collectible. And the new market for new art needs to be like in a gallery. Yeah. At Rocky Neck or at a craft show, which is great. The craft show is
Cape Ann G. Clay.
Yeah, but somebody selling flea market or used items or antique items /junk, right? They wouldn't do well at a craft show. People would just be like, oh,
but there was a lot of junk there. But that's what people want. They go junking.
Sanford and Son.
Yeah. Is there a set time? Like if you set up early, are you required to be there till the end?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you're asking some good questions. That's right. And we did have somebody that wanted to leave early, and I had a set of rules, and I said no. Again, and this is specifically geared towards a Gloucester flea market. It's Gloucester. It's kind of the end, out there. People come out. And if they're going to make the effort to get here, I wanted all my dealers to stay until 2 o'clock. Because if they get here in the day, and a lot of people put fresh stuff out. I put stuff out all day. And if they get here at 1:30 or 1 o'clock, there's nothing worse than going to a show before it closes and you see a bunch of empty booths.
Yeah,
I said, that's not... And one woman did it. I won't name names, but I said, you can't come back to that. So that spot's open. That's your spot, Joey.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I went with my girlfriend, and we didn't make it until the last half an hour, and there was still a lot of vendors there.
There were people there still shopping.
It was great.
So, yeah.
It was great that we weren't able to get there time-wise until then, but we still wanted to catch it, and that was great. So,
in fact, jumping off that, I'm going to try and do, because that's a key to a successful market. So I'm looking at toying around with the idea of talking to all the vendors and say, look, get a box full of stuff that you haven't put out yet. Just put aside a box full of stuff. Don't let anybody look at it and call it the 1 o'clock box.
Ooh.
And at 1 o'clock, all those dealers break out and say, hey, fresh merch and get it. So that gives people the incentive. A lot of people at the markets that shop the markets, besides the vendors, a lot of people that shop are looking to make money too. They're looking to pick up something they can resell on eBay, now Facebook Marketplace. So they're very competitive. And a lot of them will go in the morning and then come back later to see if prices change drastically. Dealers don't want it. That's another great reason to come by at 1 o'clock. People don't want to carry things back. Their price may drop on a lot of things very drastically. But if we have people put out like that treasure 1 o'clock box, we'll call it the 1 o'clock
box.
The
2 o'clock box is totally different than the 1 o'clock box.
Yeah, right.
You ever see golf carts come through the place?
A lot of, not golf carts yet. I've sold them out of estate sales. But I do see a lot of golf clubs, golf balls, golf paraphernalia.
Oh, I thought he did too.
We're looking for a golf cart for our neighborhood.
Electric or
I think it has to be electric to be able to drive it on the road.
I have a lead on one for you.
You do? Not the one on West Gloucester. They want too much money. The one on the by Tally's there.
That's not the one.
Right. Oh, I like the one.
That's
like
not the one.
How many could there possibly be right here?
No. You should have went to, what's that, the golf course that when it shut down.
You know he was a pro.
I wasn't a pro.
A pro at
what? I was
what?
A good player. I wasn't a pro. Far from a pro.
Well, I want to thank you for answering my questions. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. This is great. You guys are rocking.
Yeah.
Really appreciate that.
Everybody's always buzzing about the podcast. Happy to be part of it.
Good to see you.
I know it was short notice, but I'm glad you could make it.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. I'm happy to be here. All right.
All right, brother.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Be well.
Hey, guys.
Welcome, Linda. One of Gloucester's finest.
Thank you.
Rotating in Jimmy.
Jimmy
and Pat.
I just got here. What's up?
Yeah. They're a little. I've been asking them 5 times if they're okay. They seem under the weather. They took the Amtrak down Easter that we talked about last week.
Yeah.
Actually, not last week. A couple of days ago, up to Portland, Maine.
Freeport, actually.
Freeport.
Actually, before.
But
we
Portland
get
is
to them,
a stop. Yeah.
Scotty Mack's got to leave in 10 minutes. He's got 11:30 hard close.
Oh, okay.
That's okay.
2.5 hours on the train. We can wait.
No,
because he has to leave.
No, we have time. Go.
So, Scotty. Yes. We just want to talk about one of your main events coming up, Valentine's Day party, and you call it a red party at Minglewood Harborside. Is that on Valentine's Day? Valentine's Day is on a Friday, right?
Yeah.
It's the 14th, is that a Saturday?
No, it's a Friday.
You're right. I should know what my own events are, but I do so many.
Or
so I get
a Thursday.
You know, there's a Thursday events coming up and stuff. But the Red Affair is what we're calling it, the V-Day Red Affair. We're going to light the place up red with uplights on the inside. I don't know if you've been to the Minglewood Harborside recently, but the renovations that they've done.
Astounding.
They opened last May, was it? This past May?
It's one of our go-tos.
Yeah. We were there for the
it's very comfortable in there. They did a great job.
Last weekend. Yep. But they had the entertainment in the front when you first walk into the new Minglewood, and they've now switched the entertainment from the front to the back on the water side, facing out towards the rest from the restaurant towards the
big
bar.
Big dance floor.
Yeah.
Bigger dance floor. Not as loud when you first walk through the door, and more inviting for people that just want to hang out in the back and stuff, and the people that want to chit chat by the fireplace can do that as well. So they weren't really utilizing their fireplace, which is one of their main things in the wintertime. So but that there's no big special thing about the Valentine's Red Affair.
Are people supposed to wear red?
That was the next thing. We're asking people to wear red attire. It's just, you know, we're going to like it's Valentine's Day. The color's red. That's as simple
as
that.
You
know, I mean, if you want to wear pink or white, feel free. Wear green. I don't care. But majority just for like a promotion wise and photo op wise, you know where you were that day on Valentine's Day, and you're wearing red, and you can go back to your photos and check it all out.
Not sure how flattering that red light's going to be, but okay.
I'll tell you what
you look marvelous.
I'll tell you what was cool at Beauport. With the Vouv thing, they had the big, the thing to, like, you know, the red carpet screen, you know, where we took the photos.
Like the photo wall.
Right, the photo wall. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
You know, I feel like every place where they have events, they should have one of those because People love to see their photos.
I agree.
They love an excuse to take a selfie.
A selfie was the next word out of my mouth there. But they love taking selfies. I mean, we're in the photo booth business too, so we do have photo booths. I'm not sure if we're actually going to have one at this event or not. We're still in negotiations with that.
We should talk to Zach.
I have talked to Zach, and we're still in negotiations with that. Every promotion has a budget. We'll see if that's going to happen or not. But I think it would be great promotion for the bar and restaurant, and great promotion for our company as well.
Yeah,
well,
sounds like fun. What time?
That's going to kick off at 9 p.m. So you have time to go out to a nice romantic dinner.
Whoa.
And if you're not ready to go home just yet, maybe you're on a date for the first time. And if it's your first Valentine's Day, and
that'll be a bold move on Valentine's Day. But yeah.
Maybe you're single and you don't have a date. That's where it comes in.
I feel like it's going to be a huge hookup spot right there.
Anytime there's an event at Minglewood, I mean, they have great entertainment. Blake Keller does a wonderful job, along with Zach, booking the entertainment there. But anytime that they have an event that is not just a normal night, it's always a good party.
The bar, but the way they set it up too, with that huge oval bar and all the space around it, it's conducive to mingling. Minglewood.
You got it. It is a Minglewood, which is a Grateful Dead term reference.
Scotty, if people want to hire you for DJing, hosting, photo booths, anything, how do people get a hold of you?
All right, there's a few different ways. A lot of people actually reach out to me via Messenger on Facebook. They can reach me on Instagram. I can't remember each name right off the
head. I know it's DJ Scotty Mac. I'll put some links.
DJ Scotty Mac. It's Scottie and then Mac. Or you can go to our website for the photo booths and DJs. You can look up 360djs.net. And all of the photos that are in our galleries are actual photos that come out of our booths. And I'm available for a wide variety of music. I can play anything. I just did a Christmas party for South India, the Western in Boston, and they wanted all Bollywood music. So did my research, asked for some requests. We mixed those in. We had a party.
Wow.
Interesting. I'll tell you, every event that I've been that you've hosted, you bring an incredible amount of energy. And reading the crowd, I've seen you at quite a bunch of different events. There's no two events where you're the same personality. Like, you read a room. Like, sometimes it's more of a refined room, like a bunch of politicians, or the next one like a bunch of young people, a party for teenagers.
Right.
It's just he really tailors.
It didn't come easy.
Yeah, well, you've done it for how long?
Practice, yeah.
30 years coming this April.
Wow. Yeah.
Gonna have
30 years. I'm dating myself now.
Started when you were 5?
The gray hair and the eyeglasses and everything didn't give it away already. I started when I was 13 as a freshman in high school. Mm-hmm. And it turned into a business. We just did the high school dance. And then my parents are away, and my aunt's watching the house. Can you bring your stuff over?
Yeah.
And then from there, hey, we're gonna have a barbecue this summer. Can my friends wanna hire you? And I got into the wedding business rather late for me. I didn't want to ruin somebody's wedding day. I didn't know how to.
You have to have confidence going into it. Just like a photographer, same thing. Yeah. Wedding photographers say, you're nervous. Wrecked, and you missed the key shot.
I get nervous every wedding day. Every single wedding I do now, I'm still nervous. Yeah. And some shows too, because you want it to go perfect. That's your name. That's your business. That's what you pride yourself on, and you want it to be shown because you're on stage completely the whole time you're there.
I get nervous every time.
You never know who's going to be in the room,
Chris gets nervous every time he gets married too. So,
you get stage fright.
There you go, Scotty.
On the most important night.
But anyway, thank you for asking those questions and stuff and having me here today. As a bunch of podcasts now that I've been on, and thanks for helping me.
Well, you're part of the crew now. You're part of the regular.
Look out. Fun.
Hey, if it's 11 o'clock, your name's on the
list. Yeah.
No 8:30.
Don't expect me at 8:30 a.m. on Scotty's a Sunday morning.
I'm out.
I might surprise you.
If there's no photo booth, Joe agreed to set up a kissing booth for Valentine's
with mistletoe.
Night.
No
mistletoe. It is Valentine's.
It's going to be a big toilet seat and stick his ass in the back.
I like that one. That's a brutal. I'll do that one.
All right, all right. Well, there you go.
Well, I ask also everyone if they want to wear a heart, they can come with a heart on.
Bring a heart on.
For Valentine's
bring
Day.
Bring your heart on instead of Mendelwood.
Yeah. Biggest heart on wins the prize.
Yes, you know? The biggest one.
What are you going to use to measure? A yardstick?
Visual confirmation.
Are they going to spin too?
Yes, yeah, so there'll be lots of spinning going on.
I love the whole idea.
Oh, I love it.
All right. Well, there
but
you go.
If you don't mind, guys, I have another engagement that I have to be at. So.
I knew you had to leave, so that's cool.
But I wanted to thank you for at least inviting me to come down today and being part of the person.
You always have an open
enjoy the rest of the podcast, guys.
Nice. All right, bro. All right.
Thank you. Don't good to see you.
Don't trip over the thing. I'll have a heart attack.
Through all of Jimmy's hard work.
Here we go.
All right.
Big old one there and goes, two. There everybody, we are.
All the women. Well done. The views just went way up when they saw your and then your ass was right in the shot.
As soon as I said hard on.
Yeah.
Kissing booth.
Jimmy, I want Chris, grab that side. We're gonna move the table just forward just about a foot so we can get closer to the thing and have a tighter shot. That's good. Everybody, you move over there, Jimmy. You can move over there. Yep. And right there. Perfect. We get a little tighter now. Perfect. So you guys are gonna speak to your Downeaster experience on the Amtrak?
Yeah,
it was great. We decided to leave from Woburn, which was for us about a 40-minute ride,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And they have a big facility there. We'd never been there. We did have a little confusion over the parking when we first got there.
Yeah.
We thought we could use the app to to pay for the parking, but they direct the train traffic to a particular lot, and they had a guy at the booth and needed money, and it was only $4, so we were good.
So
there,
it wasn't $7, because people were saying it was.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Oh,
yeah.
It said it was very expensive at the other lot. They said.
Well, it might have. Well, anyway, it was $4 yesterday.
Yeah, there were two lots.
Negligible. And
some people, it said short term. You know, it's like an airport.
It was a little bit confusing.
And then they finally saw the commuter one, and we went in the commuter one because that's exactly what we were playing that day. So.
How much time did you allow yourself before you knew it had to leave? What time did you get to the lot?
About 9.
Yeah, we wanted to be there by 9. We knew the train was at 9:23. So we knew the traffic was going to be crazy.
Yeah.
So my GPS actually took me to a wonderful neighborhood. I saw some nice
ways. Ways.
But we got there around 9.
Yeah.
And like we wanted. The train arrived on time, and we got on. There were just a very few people getting on at the same time as us. Of course, it's the same people you see all day long, everywhere you go.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
In Freeport.
Yeah, exactly.
So Freeport, for people that don't know, is the home of L.L. Bean.
Mm-hmm.
And
lots of outlets.
Tremendous amount of outlets. And we'll speak to that in a second.
Right,
So the train, you picked it up in Woburn. You could pick it up in Boston, and was Haverhill the other one?
Haverhill was the other one we were looking at.
So there's three options you have in Massachusetts.
Right. And we got on the train, and we had bought our tickets online, and the conductor came along and said, "Oh, are you James and Patricia?" We didn't even have to get my phone out and show them the...
Wow. Really?
So they kind of saw the couple that were getting on at Woburn, because they have the opposite end of what we had on our phone. They had the information, so I thought, well, this is great. They even knew who we were when we got on, and that was great. And it was a 2.5 hour or 2:45 maybe ride into Freeport, and it was
what I saw from your photos seems exactly what I really want to do this, because for me the whole train ride it can be social, right? So
you have
the facing, the chairs, bench seats facing each other with a table in between.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, with Wi-Fi.
With Wi-Fi. That worked very well, by the way. That hasn't always been my experience on mass transportation. But in this case, the Wi-Fi worked really well.
And it was 50, in the month of January, it's $15 each way.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And but you have to book it three days
about,
in advance.
So it was about half price.
And so I posted, I went to their Twitter page this morning and sent them, I tagged them and said, Pat Dalpiez did a write-up on her experience. And while I was looking at their Twitter feed, I noticed that they also have a special if you can get 15, a group buy of 15 people going, it was $20 round trip. Wow. If you can get $15 people.
Wow. Yeah,
the, tremendous value.
Yeah.
But Freeport isn't the only stop.
Right.
Is Portsmouth on there too?
No.
Not Portsmouth, no. But Portland, Maine.
Exeter, New Hampshire. Portland was the other big stop.
A lot of people got off of Portland.
Yeah.
And the last one is Brunswick, and I can't say that there were that many more people on the train.
It was very quiet. So I could see why they're looking for passengers.
A couple of things on that, too, is they did put a notice up that Saturday and Sundays, due to train working on the tracks, that they're shutting down certain the track.
The Woburn station's not available.
Yeah,
on the weekends for a bit.
For a while. Because they're working between Woburn and Haverhill. They're working on
Haverhill.
Sorry.
New York.
I'm still on that Yankee thing you did before. they're working on the track and they're not saying that you can. So if you do that, either go there or if you're going from North Station, they'll bus you.
Haverhill's probably Haverhill. The drive to Haverhill is probably no different than the drive to Woburn at 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's why we kind of flipped a coin. It was kind of a long day because it was about a 13-hour day, I'd say, from the time that we left to the time we got back to the apartment. And I had said to you it would be fun to do with a group, especially on the return trip. It was very quiet. It was dark. You were tired. You know, so having a little bit of extra life on the board would probably have helped that return trip just a tad.
So I originally thought that, you know, I really just had Freeport circled for this whole trip because of L.L. Bean. And, it's just like, I'm probably not going to drive up there.
Right.
But I wouldn't mind taking the train. But I think that what I would actually rather do now that I'm thinking about it is take it to Portland. And just have a foodie day there.
Yeah.
Bar hopping and
yeah.
How far is the train station?
Yeah. In Freeport, it was
From Port. When you get off in Portland, how far is it?
I'm
from
not
downtown?
Sure, but it looked. I did look at it, and it looked pretty close.
Oh,
I could have sworn I saw the Portland Sea Dogs, the minor league baseball team.
Yeah.
I could have sworn I saw the stadium.
Oh wow! You could take it up to that.
Yeah.
And then I have to drive back. But also, going up there. If you get off the train, there's Uber. I guarantee there's a million Ubers.
There's a lot of buses.
I don't know if they do this in Portland, but when we got off in Freeport, there was a guy from the visitor center or whatever standing right there with maps like this.
Wow.
That helped us around town, and he was very...
Hold it up to it.
He was very...
You gotta stand up.
He's very friendly.
Yeah, very cool, Jim. Open it up to the map part, Jim.
We'll show everybody this part.
Yeah.
Right here.
The parking.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
So, and there were deep disc.
Good job, Jim.
If you're even thinking about it and you're a shopper, I would definitely go because there were deep discounts, especially in the outlet stores. The first stores we walked into were not outlet stores, and there were 20%, 30% off Christmas, and I'm like, geez, this, you know, that doesn't quite do it for me.
That doesn't move the needle.
It doesn't do it for me. But then when we went to the outlet stores, we went into one of the outlet stores, and Jim got two pairs of pants, and we bought five shirts, and it was
$130.
There you go. New underwear? Did you get new underwear?
No underwear. We
no.
Didn't.
Is that Columbia shirt? One of your new ones?
Oh, no. I always had this. I wanted to go in the leather shop for that, and she wouldn't let me.
You were looking for the assless underwear?
There was a Wilson leather shop, and I wanted to look in.
No, it was definitely, it was a great adventure. I would definitely do it again. It would be a fun thing to do with a small group of people.
I don't have a problem sitting there in the train. We had to stop a few times because one thing I'm learning about Amtrak, they rent the rails. So if some other commuter train or somebody else has a stop, we had to like pull over in a way and wait.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this older couple that was
near
us.
It didn't make us late. They kind of figured it in,
but you stop. And this older couple came right up to him and said, I don't see a station. Why are we stopping?
Oh my
What's
God.
Going on? And he finally walked up and said, we have to stop because we have to wait for this other rail to go through. And sure enough, give it about 5-10 minutes, it comes flying through, and we take it. So that's one thing I learned.
I'll tell you what, I could burn 2 hours on a 2 hour ride to Portland.
Oh yeah,
I could burn that on my iPad.
Yeah, absolutely.
On my phone.
And yeah, somebody did. Somebody had movies. They were watching movies. We were
Kate. Kate has to do her expense report like once a month or something. I'm sure that's something she could do easily. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it was a successful thing.
Very successful. I would definitely do it again. So
I'm trying to figure out a date in in February.
I would love to go to Portland.
There are cocktails.
You can't get the half price then unless we get 20, like you said.
15.
There are cocktails on the train too, right?
There was they had a cafe open, and it wasn't open on the return trip.
No.
But it was open in the morning. And I didn't notice.
You should check out the
food was decent.
No, I saw the pictures. I saw the club car.
Right, right.
And
the pastry, he got a pastry and it looked decent. It wasn't like wrapped up in plastic.
The coffee was
actually not too bad.
He was sitting at the table.
I tell you, so you don't have to. You could just go straight there. You don't have to stop or get the coffee.
That's kind of what we did.
Yeah, it's a great take.
That's why we did it.
I'm really.
I can't wait for that. Doing that.
And the Woburn station was very nice. They had a Dunkin' Donuts. Oh, have you ever heard of this?
No,
when we got back, I noticed they had 3 vending machines at the Woburn station, and one of them was for drinks, and one was snacks, and I think the other one was a mixture of both. But anyway, on one of them, there was a sign on there that said prices for these items are 10 cents less than retail, but you must make a cash purchase. Have you ever seen that on a vending machine?
That's crazy.
Isn't that a little bit weird?
Yeah, in other words, don't use your credit card.
Right.
It costs us 10 cents.
In just this one machine. It didn't apply to the other machines that were there.
Wow. It was
a drink machine. Aquafina set on it,
so
I think.
That's
water.
And I thought that was unusual.
It's limoncello.
No limoncello. Big disappointment.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I thank you guys for the update because I was really looking forward to hearing about that.
Yeah, you'll have fun.
Yeah, definitely have fun.
We know the bar we can all go to.
Oh, nice.
The citizenship test.
Yeah.
You got the questions?
I get the questions.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to do it.
Oh,
so
boy.
We're not going to look at the answers, but Jimmy, you're going to test us and we'll see, we'll see how everybody does.
All right.
So wait, explain it though. So to get citizenship, you have to pass a test.
Right.
In the U.S.
Exactly. Okay. There are 100 questions, and I don't know how many questions are actually on the test. All I heard was
100 potential questions.
100 potential questions, and I don't know how many get on the test.
Are they in English? Or is it tests given in other languages?
You know, I was just looking at those are all good questions. I need to research.
It must be.
I was just looking at the question.
Okay, yeah, that's okay. That's fair enough.
Wall off.
That's fair enough.
What was I checked a couple of the questions. How many justices are on the Supreme Court? I thought that was interesting.
Okay, can I? All right, we're gonna go around. Let me go first because mine's gonna be a total guess. I'm gonna say it's probably gonna be an odd number because they have to vote, right? I'm gonna say. I'm going to say 9.
9?
Go ahead, Jimmy.
I'm going to say 12.
No, it's 9.
It's 9.
Is it really 9?
It's 9.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was I was going to say 7. Go ahead.
Who is the Chief Justice of the United States now?
Didn't Ginsburg die?
No.
No, God. Don't put that out there.
She's cancer free. Announced it today.
Okay, I'm going to say Ruth Ginsburg, but I don't know. Go ahead, Jimmy. Go.
I just, John Roberts,
I'm just, you get it.
My citizenship card is, I can feel it being destroyed.
All right, so I'm 1-2. Jim, Pat's 2-2, and Jimmy's 1-3.
Jimmy's
0-2.
This one struck me because of the conversation we had last time. But what is one responsibility that is only for United States citizens? There are 2 options:
to vote and to pay taxes. No, wait. There's one.
That's your answer.
Wait, was it one question?
So there's 2.
You have to get one?
You have to get 1 of the 2.
Okay, to vote.
Yeah.
No. You don't have to vote. No. Jury duty.
I would say jury duty.
I'd pay taxes.
A lot of people don't pay taxes.
No, it's serve as a juror
okay.
on a jury and vote in a federal election.
So,
as you were bitching the other day about jury duty,
maybe Jim
that
should
is one
clarify
of our responsibilities.
His...
I wasn't bitching about it. I was just saying.
Yeah.
I was just saying.
Jim should probably clarify his concern with his recent jury summons because I think it was a little bit misunderstood.
Listen, you don't have to explain.
Okay.
Because it doesn't matter what you put out there. There's always certain people, and they're probably 3% of the population, are going to look for the negative to try to put some negative connotation and. Well, why you should be an honor to do this, and not because you get it, but they have to these people are the type of people that have insecurities themselves and have to pull others down to make themselves look better.
All I can say is I see their point, and I just want to
what's another question?
So, who was the president during World War One?
World War One.
I mean, I would never get that. Yeah, it's Wilson. Who was the president of World War II?
I would have got it wrong.
Oh, World War II? Oh, FDR.
FDR? Yeah.
I would have got it wrong.
Two, Joe.
You're tied with me. No.
And for World War III?
Who did the United States fight in World War II? I found this one interesting.
Germany.
It wasn't just Germany.
Japan.
It was
Italy?
Germany, Japan, and Italy.
Yeah.
I was surprised at Italy.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they're close by.
They're close by.
I must have missed that class. I must have been hungover. I think there was one other that I found to be, name the two longest rivers in the United States.
Oh,
Mississippi.
Right, I got that one.
Colorado?
No, the Missouri.
The Missouri.
Yeah, you know, I would have gotten the Mississippi, but I think those were...
Susan Casey Lipschitz is just pounding out the answers. I just looked down.
Of course she is. Of course, how did we miss it?
Oh, look at this. She's like, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, she's got them all.
Oh, that
total
is awesome.
Total citizen.
Yeah. No, but she's smart and she retains things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other ones, I felt were fairly straightforward and actually this is the last one. What is one of the things Benjamin Franklin is famous for?
Electricity.
Electricity. My glasses.
The kites. Did he get the kite and it got zapped by the kite?
I don't know if that was the same Ben Franklin, but
Almanac.
He was a diplomat. He was the oldest member of the Constitutional Convention. He was the first postmaster general.
Mm.
And he started the first free library. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Benjamin Franklin.
That's surprising to me.
I don't blame you. I can accept that.
What Kim is to Snowy Owls and Piping Plovers, you are supposed to be to research and
Well, that's true. You're right.
So there are
multiple choices for
the answers, or you have to fill it in?
I think there are multiple choices.
Okay.
Again, that's another question I don't have an answer
to. Susan Casey Lipschitz could answer. She went to Enron Erjan's citizenship test with him in Memphis.
Oh, okay.
Her son-in-law. Remember the guy that makes the great Sazerac drink? He's a good guy. We need more.
All right. So
we need more of him.
Those are my top or most difficult citizenship test questions.
That's an interesting variety, a little geography.
Yeah.
I think Pat would have passed, and Jimmy and I would have failed.
Yes. Yes.
Deport us.
Yep.
We got a note from Eric Archer. Who is, I forget his official title here, but he's kind of runs the place, him and Becky Tober and Lisa Smith. I think he's maybe the executive director. Hey, all these people are like, they're craning
their
neck to
the wall. We're going
to
cause another accident.
The light on really helps too.
Yeah. I wish it was had a few more lumens. But he said, come to the ribbon cutting. Oh, so they're having a ribbon cutting ceremony here. On Thursday, and then they're going to have for chamber members come to the business after hours after that on Thursday evening.
And RSVP.
And you can RSVP with the Chamber of Commerce. So Susan gives you an interesting insight.
They make you
read the sentences in English.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Test.
All right.
That's a wealth.
We miss you, Susan.
You know what, though? We should have Susan on the podcast all the time through the computer so she can't talk over everybody, but we get her excellent
we can manage
information because she knows everything. But when she's in the room, she can't help herself but talk over everybody.
because she's so passionate.
She is passionate. And, that's what we love about
loves,
her.
Loves being
look
part
that
of
guy
this
in the
discussion.
Scooter. Is that
motorized scooter. Yes. Motorized.
Maybe we should get one of those.
Going
instead.
Up the
one of those. We riding dirty to Niles Beach.
Going the wrong way
no,
on
it's,
a one-way road.
A scooter's not good. The right. What do they call those things? Those...
Yeah.
No, that's a scooter.
Razor.
Or,
no, Razor.
No, it's a motorized
Razor,
scooter.
Razor, yeah, there
Razor.
You go.
Razor's a brand.
Scooter makes
yeah.
me think
that's
of a mini motorcycle.
No, that's no, that's a motorized scooter.
But you know what's
okay.
interesting is this.
So it can be that too, though.
At least this app that yeah. I went to, it does allow you to study in
yeah.
Spanish.
Oh, really?
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah, flashcards, flashcards.
Yeah, you have flashcards.
You should have sent me.
Quizzes.
She should have sent me the link to that so I could put it into the and people could have messed around. Susan says she misses everybody except for me because I insulted her.
I don't blame you, Susan. I hear you there.
Oh,
Susan, we miss your great desserts.
No, we miss her company.
But
yeah,
company
we, what we don't miss is when people can't hear the podcast because she's speaking in the background. That's the only thing that drives me nuts. I love Susan.
Well, that's mostly my fault.
Oh, you are. You are absolutely.
I take some blame for that.
It's the two of you. We have to put you on opposite sides.
Yes.
You can't be next to each other.
You just got me in trouble. I got the look. I got it.
From who? Pat?
You.
No, from you.
I didn't give you the look.
When?
You're good. You know, Jimmy, you're...
How do you catch a look from him and you never get the look from me?
When,
like, it goes
Pat,
right over your
Pat, head. Your look. Pat is a constant gives Jimmy... Pat, Jimmy is a beaten man. I have observed this. Especially
look at the marks.
No, he is abused. He is a whipping boy for Pat.
Well, he wears assless leather chaps. Of course he's beaten silly.
No, but like when all I had to know was when I went over to visit them at the house,
oh,
and they have
boy.
The perfect spot for a television, and he looked over at Pat, and he just and she gave him the look, and he just put his head down like this. And I'm saying, are you a man or a mouse? And that's all I heard was
squeak, 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 squeak.
Well, you know what? Not to change the subject, but I think we may be the cause of some accidents.
You know, I was thinking about that a little earlier. It's a good thing there aren't more lumens in there.
We did see an accident.
Because they were looking at the on-air sign.
Don't say that. They'll put some frivolous lawsuit will come our way.
Let's go back to me being squeaky and stuff, all right? Let's go back.
A man or a mouse?
Yes.
Squeaky.
Squeak, squeak, squeak.
What, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No.
She said your name, so you have an opportunity to remind.
She didn't say James Peter, so I'm
James Peter.
James Peter comes out.
Don't you like that in the debates?
Oh,
when
yeah.
He said my name. She said my name.
Yeah.
So how about the big controversy with Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren? That Bernie says that a female can't win the election.
I want to read more about that.
Yeah.
Oh, Caitlin. Thank you, Caitlin.
It was 2018, am I right? I think it was when this meeting occurred.
Oh, I thought it was recent.
I want to say it was 2018.
Okay.
And it was a private, some sort of private conversation that they'd had. And that's about all I know about it.
Yeah, I haven't
I'd like to know more.
Yeah. I don't mean to be...
He might not be wrong. I mean,
like
I don't know.
Politics.
Yeah, we don't do politics.
I know,
so
I was just curious.
Talks over fucking her, him and Susan Casey Lipset. They're talking over everybody. They're bringing up the politics. The two things we'd say, no, don't do. So anyway, happy birthday to Susan Casey Lipset. It's her birthday coming up. So an early birthday to Susan Casey Lipset.
Happy birthday.
This is the Susan Casey Lipset podcast.
Yes.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
She is the best.
Let's have some of those yellow tomato bloodies.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, the ones that she made. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We got to bring her into
Caitlin,
the crow's nest.
Caitlin is
absolutely.
Caitlin is all behind the keyboard instigating.
Yeah.
That's what she's
doing. I hope she's feeling better.
She's not feeling better.
She's feeling the burn.
Did you
is she pooping?
Yeah.
She can't stop?
No, not yet. Well, I don't know because she took the medicine, the Theraflu last night.
Oh, it makes you poop.
I convinced her to go to, I brought her to the, that was one of our topics.
Yeah.
Fact.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
what I was trying to lead you in.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So the flu, the flu is going around. They're saying it's one of the worst flu seasons ever. The flu.
Every year is.
No, this is particularly.
No, last year was.
So I went yesterday, which may be too late. Because Kate came down with flu-like symptoms. But she lived with it for 2 days, and I finally convinced her to go up to the Leahy outpatient one, the urgent care up at Market Basket Plaza. Is that what? No, it's Gloucester Crossing.
Yeah.
She was in and out. I went to Walgreens and got a flu shot. I was in and out, and there's no charge for the flu shot if you have insurance. So you're crazy not to get the flu shot. But they said there that if you are diagnosed with the flu, they have something, and especially if you catch it early on, that they can give you that will shorten the flu by at least a day. And that's at least a day. If you're living with what Kate is living with right now, she's killing me right now. I'll say what she just said. If you're living absolutely lethargic, chills, achy, you don't want to get that shot is worthwhile to shorten it by a minimum of a day. So, like Chris was just saying, this is the worst flu season ever. It wasn't last year, and wasn't the one before that, and wasn't the one before that, because that's what people say. Kate just said something that we always talk about, people saying, a Facebook saying, this is the worst traffic I've ever seen in the city of Gloucester ever.
My response to the worst flu ever was going to be, if it's not the worst flu ever season, it's the season where the flu shot didn't address the virus that's attacking people.
Yeah, exactly.
But what doctors, people that work at these clinics, they all tell you.
Yeah, they all do.
There is research. There are numbers. And here's how I know that it's worthwhile. You want to know why? Because whenever you want to know the truth, you follow the money, right? Insurance companies are paying for the flu shot for you to have it for zero. Why is that? Because they don't want to pay for more
hospitalizations visits.
Because it's effective. They wouldn't believe me. There's no one more greedy than insurance companies. No one.
Yeah.
And if they'll pay then.
So Kate's bored. I think
I guess she's feeling better.
No, I think she's
very
go,
active.
She should go volunteer at some schools. She should go volunteer as a substitute teacher or something.
Our school in New York just sent a big letter out. And the parents, Facebook, they put the letter out so everybody can see it. And basically says, folks, if your kid has the sniffles and not feeling whatever, don't let them come to school. Listen, work through it. Go to school. We are sending more people home because of it. And it's getting more people sick.
Yeah.
Just keep them home. Now, I don't ever recall a school sending a letter home to parents saying, keep your kid home.
Yeah. Or even emergency rooms.
Oh, I've heard of, recently, I have heard of a lot of teachers scolding parents for
sending
their kids to school. Like, you got to figure this out and,
Cases, it might be selfish. Like, well, I have to go to work.
Right.
Well, that's exactly what the teacher said. Yes. That's why the teacher scolded them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So to Jimmy's point, I've never seen doctors being interviewed on TV.
Oh, that pizza looks so good. Where did he get that pizza?
Squirrel.
From the emergency rooms, saying if you have the flu, don't make the emergency room your first stop, because everyone, like Kate, are rushing right to the emergency room, and all these emergency rooms are filled with patients that have the flu. Now, they're saying if you're elderly or if it's a young child or you have some sort of baby asthma or asthma, yes, then come to the emergency room. But, see your primary care physician first before rushing to the
That's a great point. I'm totally my mind just. Did you see that pizza?
Yeah, and I'm hungry. Let's go eat.
Where did he get that pizza? Where do you think it was? A diagonal shape, and he was coming up
somewhere
the road.
Yeah.
Where could it be? Who's making pizza around here?
It's on a paper plate, which it would be anyway.
Papagino's. Papagino's isn't open anymore.
That's gonna be Trader Joe's.
Want me to run him down?
That's going to be Trader
Joe's. Go tackle that guy, steal his pizza, and bring it back here.
Breaking news. Papagino's is going to be Trader Joe's.
don't stop. There's not enough room there. Trader Joe's has some good stuff, but from what I understand, it's they are masquerading as this really healthy food place, but it's super corporate.
Yeah.
Their Trader Joe's fish case, I'm going to just say this, and I don't take shots at businesses, but I consider them big business, and we always say big business is open, fair game. Their fish case at Trader Joe's, the fish in there is disgusting looking. It's gray. When you look, I know good fishing, but this stuff is gray, nasty looking.
Well, it might be gray sole.
No, don't buy fish at Trader Joe's.
I really want us to get to this.
Kate, tell me if that's true or not, because we can't. Because if that is true, I want to know if. So Kate just wrote something, and she may be joking, and I'm guessing that she's joking, but I'm gonna ask her for clarification. Serious? She says Wendy's is going into Gloucester Crossing, but I'm guessing that I'm going to wait for confirmation for her. So just sit tight, and I'm going to ask her if she's serious or not.
Okay, but I want to get to this topic.
Wait. No,
things
I have
to share.
I have a different topic. Kate said that there's a job listing for Wendy's up at Gloucester Crossing.
Huh.
That's interesting to me.
Yep.
That is very interesting.
If anything's going to go up there, Wendy's is good.
I like Wendy's.
Yeah.
I like Wendy's. Hold on. I have a topic. So I've been posting every month. I post my National Grid bill since I've gotten solar, because people are skeptical or for whatever reason. And solar doesn't work for everybody. But if you have a house that faces a certain way and it isn't completely surrounded by trees, I know from personal experience, you can actually make money from solar. We're into January now. We still have a $221, I think, national, and we have 100% electricity at our house. So
awesome.
I am thankful to my friend Tim Sanborn from Kazalt Solar. I have turned on a bunch of people to him. The reason I got it and felt comfortable was because I spoke to about 10 different people that got it through Kazalt Solar. And the recurring thing that they all said was, if I said, would you do it or would you do anything differently? To a person, they all said, I would have done it sooner and I would have put more panels if I could have. So thank you, Tim, for that. I'm still making money.
That's affirmation.
It is.
Good.
Awesome. Yeah. And the bills don't lie, so.
Definitely something to think about.
Pat wanted to talk about the Netflix series?
I wanted to thank Kate because on her recommendation, we started watching Schitt's Creek.
Good one.
We were enjoying it very much. And I needed my bottom line for looking for a new series to look at anymore is it has to be a series. Basically more than one season. One season doesn't do it for me. I'm not going to invest if it's only one season. But, the pickings were getting a little slim, so I was glad to get the Schitt's Creek recommendation from her.
How do you spell that?
Two T's.
Two T's?
And a C.
I haven't heard of that.
S-C-H. Oh, it is a C too.
S-C-H-I-T-T-apostrophe-S, yeah.
And where's Schitt's Creek? Is that like I'm up Schitt's Creek?
Well, all the actors are from Canada.
It's the name of the town.
Okay. That, like Banshee?
That they're
Banshee,
in.
Pennsylvania?
I don't know what state it's
Banshee?
Supposed to be. No.
Oh, you have to watch Banshee.
Banshee's the best show. Well, I don't know if it'll be in Pat's wheelhouse. It'll be in Jimmy's wheelhouse. I don't know if it'll be in Pat. Pat likes period pieces with English actors.
I do, but I wasn't there. So we had a couple of those on the list, and Jim said, take them off because, you don't want to be recommending that at this time. We made a list.
Schitt's Creek.
They may or may not all be Netflix is the problem.
So Pat says Schitt's Creek. What do you have any other ones you want to recommend?
They're streaming. I can't all know. Longmire, we really liked Longmire.
You would like that too.
A Western.
L-O-N-G.
And I think there's about 7 seasons.
Can you spell it?
M-I-R-E.
So it's a Jewish cowboy?
No.
He's a sheriff of, I think it's South Dakota. Area, and it's modern time.
Or Wyoming.
And this, one of his deputies came out from Philadelphia, And the story talks about how she got out there and these people looking for
yeah,
her.
I didn't think I was going to like it. I did not think I was going to like it. I did not
think. So would Kate like it, I guess?
Yeah.
I don't, because it sounds like I would like it. But Kate and I have, there's a very, we have two circles that have, there's very little that overlap.
Have you watched Ozark?
Ozark season 3 is coming out in May, March 3rd or something, or March 21st, March. Something like that. But we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, very
Longmire
much.
Longmire has that type of tendencies.
Yeah. Sneaky Pete.
Sneaky Pete. I couldn't get into Sneaky Pete.
Really?
But he's a great
I didn't
actor.
Think I was
it GM, GM something?
Yeah.
Rabisi?
Yeah.
All right. Sneaky Pete.
So I was trying to think, what things do we enjoy when we hear there's a new season?
There you go. Chris, did you have any? Chris and I will both, if there was only one show that we could start at from the beginning, well, obviously Game of Thrones, but after Game of Thrones, Banshee would be mine. But it's kind of a guy. It would not, Kim Smith would probably turn it off in 5 minutes. For us, it's right in our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Right?
Is it the way it sounds, spelled the way it sounds? The way the word typically is spelled?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, I don't want to really even tell anything about it. It's kind of a guy, there's a lot of sex.
Charlene watched it. Charlene liked it.
Well, yeah, sex and violence and action and
sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Okay. Intrigue.
So not The Crown.
Not The Crown.
Speaking of The Crown.
Oh, wait. Susan Kate.
Oh, Broadchurch is on my list.
Broadchurch. Kate says dead to me.
Broadchurch, Susan, was on my list, but Jim made me take it off because it's not. Because it's, well, it's Scottish, I think, actually.
Jim is
British. But Broadchurch is definitely. I would. If you like a mystery with a surprise ending kind of thing and an involved story. Broadchurch is a good story.
Oh, I like a mystery.
Also, Dr.
The Bodyguard. I enjoyed The Bodyguard too. That was one that we watched when we were in Paris at night. Susan Casey Lipsett.
Dr. Foster. Well, I was thinking about that, Susan.
Oh, okay.
On
so
your
Kate,
recommendation, I'll give that an extra.
So
an extra look.
So on, if you go to, wow, this is great. Great, Kate. Thank you so much.
This is how technology works.
Investigative journalism. Kate sent us wendys-careers.com, cashier/line cook, Gloucester Crossing Road and Schoolhouse, Gloucester, Massachusetts, taken from the Facebook page. So I guess it, unless that's a fake Facebook page, but I don't believe it is.
Or Wendy's does some other business. But.
You can check that out. So Wendy's, that's interesting. I wonder where they would put
Please this. Come back to Wendy's. Remember so, a couple years ago? When they found a thumb in the Wendy's hamburger. Boy, they're big corporate. And the manager of that particular store came in front of the cameras. He said, please come back to Wendy's.
I didn't see that.
No, oh, yeah, you got to
pull it. That's awesome. All right.
Okay, 108.
108.
All right, we're going to eat.
We're gonna eat. So for Pat, Chris, Jimmy, and Joey, thank you for watching with us.
Two guests.
That's Gloucester Cast 375, 25 from 400.
25 more.
Everybody have a great day now.